We read in Apocalypse Revealed, number 531. I was seized suddenly with a disease almost deadly. My whole head was oppressed with pain. Disease-bearing smoke was let in from the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. I was half dead with severe anguish. I expected the end. Thus I lay in bed through 3 days and a half. My spirit became such, and from it my body. Then I heard voices around me saying, "Look, he lies dead in the street of our city, the one who preached repentance for the remission of sins, and Christ the man as the only God." And they asked some of the clergy whether he was worthy of burial, as is said about the two witnesses slain in that city. And they answered, "No, let him lie. Let him be looked at." And they passed to and fro and mocked. All this happened to me in truth when that chapter of Revelation was being explained. Then there were heard severe speeches from them, such as the following: "How can repentance be performed without faith? And how can Christ, the man, be adored as God? While we are saved freely without any merit of our own, what need is there of anything besides faith alone? The faith that God the Father sent the Son to take away the damnation of the law, to ascribe his merit to us, and so to justify us in his sight and absolve us from our sins, and then to give the Holy Spirit to operate all good in us. Are not these things agreeable to Scripture and to reason also?" The crowd standing by applauded these things. I heard all this without any power to reply, being almost dead. But after 3 days and a half, my spirit recovered. And as to the spirit, I went out from the street into the city and again said, "Repent and believe in Christ, and your sins will be remitted, and you will be saved. But otherwise you will perish. Did not the Lord himself preach repentance for the remission of sins, and that men should believe in him? Did he not command his disciples to preach the same? Does not a full but false security of life follow the dogma of your faith?" But they said, "What idle talk! Has not the Son made satisfaction? And does not the Father impute it to us and justify us who have believed this? Thus we are led by the Spirit of grace. Then what is sin in us? What death is with us? Do you comprehend this gospel, you preacher of sin and repentance?" But then a voice went forth from heaven saying, "What is the faith of an unrepentant man but a dead faith? The end has come. The end has come upon you who are secure, unblameable in your own eyes, justified in your own faith, devils." And suddenly a deep gulf was then opened in the midst of that city, which spread itself far and wide, and the houses fell one upon another and were swallowed up. And presently water began to bubble up from a large whirlpool, and it overflowed the wasteland. When they were thus submerged and seemed covered by a flood, I desired to know their lot in the deep. And it was said to me from heaven, "You shall see and hear." And immediately the waters in which they seemed to be inundated disappeared. For waters in the spiritual world are correspondences, and consequently appear around those who are in falsities. And then they appeared to me in a sandy bottom land where there were large heaps of stones, among which they ran and lamented that they had been cast out of their great city. And they shouted and cried, "Why has all this befallen us? Are we not, through our faith, clean, pure, just, and holy?" Others exclaimed, "Are we not, through our faith, made clean, pure, just, and holy?" And others cried, "Are we not, through our faith, rendered worthy to be reputed and esteemed clean, pure, just, and holy before God the Father and before the whole Trinity and to be declared such before the angels? Are we not reconciled, atoned for, expiated, and thereby absolved, washed, and cleansed from sins? And is not the curse of the law taken away by Christ? Why then are we cast down here like the condemned? We have heard from an audacious preacher of sin in our great city, believe in Christ and do the work of repentance. Have we not believed in Christ while we believed in his merit? And have we not done the work of repentance while we confessed ourselves sinners? Why then has all this befallen us? But then a voice from one side said to them, do you know any one sin in which you are? Have you ever examined yourselves? Have you, in consequence of this, shunned any evil as sin against God? And whoever does not shun it remains in it. Is not sin the devil? Therefore, you are they of whom the Lord says, then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall answer, I say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Depart therefore every one to his place. You see the openings into those caverns? Enter there, and work shall be given each of you to do, and afterwards food in proportion to your work. But if you won't go in, still pretty soon you will be compelled by hunger to enter. Afterwards there came a voice from heaven to some on that land who were outside the great city and who are also described in the Apocalypse. The voice was crying aloud, take heed to yourselves. Be careful how you associate yourselves with people like this. Can you not understand that evils, which are called sins and iniquities, render man unclean and impure? How can man be cleansed and purified from them except by actual repentance and faith in the Lord God the Savior? Actual repentance consists in a man's examining himself, in knowing and acknowledging his sins, in making himself guilty, in confessing them before the Lord, in imploring help and power to resist them, and thus in desisting from them and leading a new life, and doing all these things as of himself. Do this once or twice in a year when you come to the Holy Communion. And afterwards, when the sins of which you made yourselves guilty recur, then say to yourselves, we do not will them because they are sins against God. This is actual repentance. Who cannot understand that he who does not examine himself and see his sins remains in them? For all evil is delightful to a man from his birth. It is a delight to take revenge, to commit whoredom, to defraud, and to blaspheme. Doesn't the delight cause them not to be seen? And if perhaps it is said that they are sins, do you not, on account of that delight, excuse them? In fact, do you not by falsities confirm them and persuade yourselves that they are not sins, and so remain in them, and afterwards do them more than before, even till you do not know what sin is and whether there is any such thing as sin? But the case is otherwise with everyone who performs actual repentance. The evils which he has recognized and acknowledged, he calls sins. And therefore, he begins to shun and be averse to them and to feel their delight as undelightful. And in proportion as this is the case, so far he sees and loves good things and at length feels the delights of these good things, which are the delights of heaven. In a word, so far as anyone rejects the devil to the back, so far he is adopted by the Lord and is taught, led, withheld from evils, and held in goods by the Lord. This is the way, and there is no other way from hell to heaven. After the above warning, something like thunder and a voice speaking from heaven were heard saying, We are amazed. Say to the assembly of the Reformed, believe in Christ and do the work of repentance, and you shall be saved. And I told them and added further, is not baptism a sacrament of repentance? And thereby an introduction into the church? What else do the sponsors promise for the person to be baptized but that he will renounce the devil and his works? Is not the Holy Supper a sacrament of repentance and thereby an introduction into heaven? Is it not declared to the communicants that they must altogether do the work of repentance before they approach? Is not the Decalogue, which teaches repentance, the doctrine of the whole Christian church? Is it not there said in the 6 commandments of the 2nd table, thou shalt not do this and that evil, and it is not said, thou shalt do this and that good? From this you may know that in proportion as anyone shuns evil, in the same proportion he loves good, and that before this he does not know either what good is nor what evil is. Amen.